I take my dry cleaning to Ruby Cleaners on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. Little cha-ching kind of sound right there. They didn't pay anything for it, but it's really inexpensive, $1 a shirt and $2.50 for everything else. And they do a great job with shirts, suits, pants. They even do alterations, robe repairs, and cleaning. So usually, like, right after the Easter season, I take my white robe in, and right as the Easter season starts, I take my black robe in for its annual cleaning and repair, stuff like that. So I looked at my collection of white dress shirts a few days back, and they kind of seemed a little worse for wear. You know how you get the collar marks? Back in the 70s, when whisk was a... they still sell whisk? It was a, you know, whisk around the collar beats, ring around the collar every time. Anyone remember that? There we go. We've got some people. None of you saw the movie, but you remember whisk around the collar. Okay. So I tried bleach. I took it to the dry cleaners, and I said, you know, put whatever special stuff you put on to make the collars better. And I even tried some of that Miracle White stuff. It's in the jar, and it's a powder. Is it called Miracle White? Something like that. And guess what? The collar's still kind of dingy. So guess what I did? I bought a new shirt. What do you think? Collar is dazzling white. Brand new shirt. Got it on sale. Did I bought a new shirt? You're not happy about that? But the collar is dazzling. It looks brand new because it's brand new. In this morning's Bible reading, you hear some words about dazzling white. Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and while they were there, Jesus did not get a new shirt. Instead, his clothes became that dazzling white, like no detergent, bleach, Miracle White detergent, laundry specialist, or even a new shirt could become. However, they didn't see Peyton's dress. So, you know, maybe, no. Peyton's dress is beautiful and dazzling white as well. And when Jesus' clothes glowed, you know, people wondered, what did it mean? Peter wondered what it meant, but he had no idea. He saw the dazzling Jesus, and the first thing he could think of was to say something that didn't sound completely off. He said, "This is good. Let me help everyone feel at home." It's possible, and you know, you look in our bulletin today, and I put those prayers in there to give us a different perspective, that perhaps, you know, there was something different going on, and Peter was just confused, and he said something stupid, but I don't really think so. I think that his first instinct was to do something, yes, good. I love that that's his first thought. In a situation that was, at the very least, unnerving, it was surprising and terrifying, he offered hospitality. It wasn't his mountain. He wasn't showing any kind of, "I'm glad you're at my place, now let me be the one who welcomes you" power. There was no power involved. He was simply responding with his gut. And when he couldn't think of anything else, his wiring took over and he offered hospitality. That was in Peter's wiring. Other things were in his wiring too, like saying other not smart things or cutting ears and stuff like that. But he had that wiring. It brings up wiring. See, Jesus stood on the mountain, and there was Elijah, Moses, Peter, James, and John there, and Jesus' clothes were glowing. And then a cloud overshadowed all of them. And then there was a voice, and the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So, do you know any people that are wired to hear God's voice like that? You got several friends, those friends, people that go to a church where that happens often, or they feel that. I do know this one person. He has told me this. He said that when he prays, he can look over and see Jesus sitting in a chair next to him, and they have a conversation. He said to me once, he goes, "Do you think that's possible?" And instead of answering that with a yes or no, I said, "What do you talk about?" "Just stuff, nothing huge." "I think that's great. If he ever tells you to do something that you know is harmful or to you or to anyone, then it's not Jesus. But I think it's great that when you pray, you see Jesus and have a conversation. It's one person. I know another person. She tells me that she sees things. What kind of things? I don't know. I just saw Jesus over your shoulder. I've seen him laugh. I just see things. I sense when there is good, and I sense when there is evil. You probably think I'm not quite right, right? Does Jesus laugh when I tell a good joke? It's not like that. I've always just been able to see things that other people don't see. I think that's great. Just keep looking. If you ever see something that's trying to communicate to you that something that you know is harmful to you or to anyone, then it's not Jesus. But I think it's great that you see things. It's not the way I'm wired, but I think it's great that that's the way you are. And I know plenty of people who see and hear and experience things differently than I do. And my response to each one of them is pretty similar. Keep looking. Keep listening. Keep your eyes open. Keep your soul open. And if you ever experience communication that tells you to do something you know is harmful to you or to anyone, that's not a good voice to listen to. Just like that. I'm thoroughly convinced that people are wired differently. Some people are more in tune with things that most people don't hear or see. I have no idea how it all works. But I think that when Jesus glowed, people there got some kind of wiring adjustment so that they could hear God speak in this audible voice. And he told them to listen to Jesus. Hope that listening is in all of our wiring. And seriously, you probably won't see Jesus sitting next to you in a chair. You probably won't see or sense things that others don't. Maybe you will, but you know, chances are probably not. But you don't have to have special wiring to listen. Peter didn't know what was going on before he heard the voice, but his instinct was to show hospitality. It's good to be a people of hospitality. And Jesus also gave us some pretty basic instructions, right? They're the ones that are, they're over any rules or actions that we might take. They're under any rules or actions that we might take. They're over, they're under any voices we may hear, or any visions we may see. They are more impressive and more important than any glowing face or dazzling garments. And you remember those, right? I've probably said them a few times, and they should be so rote that that's just the first thing that you say. What are the two rules? Come on, say it out loud. Shout it, Leanne. Go ahead. Love God and love everyone. There you go. Let's maybe I need a reminder. I haven't said it in too long. So first rule, love. Second rule, love. Love. That's the voice to listen to. Listen to that voice. Amen.